All right, today is the last teaching on the series that we've been running for the past month and a half, I think, or 2 months. We've been talking about managing life in a chaotic world. And we really went into some practical things that influence, that affect us. And I really believe that you were empowered, you were inspired. And this morning, we're going to do the last teaching on this series. Now, 2 weeks ago, we started talking about an important topic in the life of many of us here. This issue touches us either directly or indirectly. Either you are in the context or you know somebody very close to you who is going through the same thing. So 2 weeks ago, we spoke about finding wholeness in the blend. Okay? Finding wholeness in the blend. How do you do that? How do you become whole in a blended family? I told you about my own mom who was raised in a blended family because the father, my grandfather from my mother's side, decided to marry one too many wives. It's not an ideal situation, but he did it. And as a result, my mom has 28 siblings. So she is one of 29. So she has 28 siblings, one of 29. You can imagine the dynamics in that home. Born out of 4 wives. Four wives. But yes, it happens. It's not the ideal, but it happens. And you know cases like that. I was at work. Are you laughing? My wife knows the inside story. I was at work, and I had a fairly senior guy in my office, and we were busy working. He came. And I said, so where do you come from? No, the conversation was, no, I need to let my wives know that I've arrived at work. And he said to me, did you hear what I said? I said, my wives. I'm like, well, what do you mean? He's like, no, I've got wives. I'm like, how many do you have? He said, 2. So this thing is not about whether you're educated or you're not educated. It's about an issue of the heart. So this man has a couple of them. But I'm going to do an interview on him to understand how it's going. Yeah, he agreed. He said, no, it's fine. We can have coffee. I can tell you my world. I will have that interview, and I'll give you the research results of that investigation. Because I cannot do more than one. Those who do more than one, I don't know how they do it. But it needs grace and strength. A special type of stamina. Anyway, let's leave it there. Let's go on talking about blended families. So we said God's ideal is the nuclear family that is made up of father and mother with their biological children. That is ideal, and that is a picture of the church. Because the Bible tells us that your marriage is a mystery. It tells us about the relationship between Jesus and the church. When you understand the relationship between Jesus and the church, you will know that anything else, when you decide to marry one too many, is not in line with that picture. So the picture of a family that God designed when he created Adam and Eve was for a husband and wife to come together and produce children of their kind. That is ideal that God has for you and for the church today. Now, we also established that, yes, there's an ideal, but we are in a fallen world where things go bad, where things don't work out the way we want. Now, what happens when the ideal doesn't materialize? Do we lose our place with God and with his people because the ideal hasn't worked out. Now, this resulted in the formation of blended families. When the ideal falls apart, blended families come about. Now, a blended family is a family unit in which one or both spouses have been previously married and bring a child or children into the new marriage. Or one had a child before marriage and they bring the child into the new marriage. Or one of them becomes naughty and they decide to go somewhere else and they make a child and they bring the child in the home. Okay, it happens, right? We aren't angels here. And things happen like that. What do we do as a church when that happens? I gave you statistics 2 weeks ago to highlight how rife and how real this matter is. And the body of Christ must equip itself to deal with blended families. Now, God has a heart for those situations when the ideal fails. And I ended up my teaching 2 weeks ago by saying, if you can give me that slide, that God is interested. Blended families are families that God is interested in and wants to use. You see, the moment a blended family comes up, it's not an ideal, but God still has a heart for it, for that family. And many of you here are in those situations, or it is very close to home, and you wonder whether you still carry or contain the blessing of God. And I told you, in the Bible, we have a lot of blended situations. If you want to take it from the top, Joseph was not the father of Jesus. What that means is that was a blended family, which heaven created in order to bring about the Messiah. Come on now. It was a blended family. If you talk about the family from which the 12 tribes of Israel came out of, it was a blended family. Jacob fell in love with Rachel, but the one who came into the bed was Leah. And then Jacob said, I love Rachel so much, I'll do 7 years for her. He did another 7 years, and by default, he had two wives. It's not an ideal, but God still blessed that family because there was a promise over that family. So when you have a promise, you might not be in an ideal situation, but that promise will become a reality. Glory be to God. Therefore, we must create an environment that enables the promises of God to become a reality in our lives. Very, very important. Now, the question is, how can blended families be healthy and whole in their blendedness? How can blended families be healthy and whole in their blessedness? Let's have a look at what the word tells us. Number one, as we consider this matter of blendedness, you know, whenever I think of a blended family, I think of Greek salad. You know, a Greek salad in it there, I said that again 2 weeks ago, there's just multitude of things and colors. It also makes me think of the 7 colored lunch we have on Sundays, those of you. There's black there, there's green, there's red, there's orange, there's pink, there's, I don't know, all sorts of colors. Now, the question is, how can blended families be healthy and whole in their blendedness? The point number one is this. If the blended family is to experience wholeness, the people who are involved in the blended family, they've got to accept and embrace the uniqueness of a blended family. If you are involved in a blended family, it does not help you to bury your head in the sand and think that yours is an ideal family. You've got to accept and embrace the uniqueness of blendedness. And this is a major paradigm that you need to have. It is a paradigm that acknowledges that yours is unique. Your family setup is unique and different. It is unique on many fronts, and one of them is that whilst other families start just by having the two who fell in love, yours start with another. So whilst you're trying to get to terms with living with this person perpetually, you also want to become a parent immediately. Did you understand where I'm going with this? You're trying to get to terms with the fact that you are now a married person, but at the same time, there's a little one who is 6 years old who is there already. And by default, you've got to learn how to handle a six-year-old. Maybe it's a teenager. By default, you've got to learn how to handle teenagers. And you're saying to yourself, I'm still trying to handle my own teenager I got married to. You get the drive. Some people, when they get married, you realize they're actually young. You actually realize this still needs nappies. This one still needs me to clean after them. Because every time they leave the toilet, it's not flushed. You're like, come on, can you not just remember, please? Hello? So now you've got two teenagers you need to handle. It's a major cause of stress in a marriage setup. But you've got to realize that that is what I am in for. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. The Bible says, my brothers, I do not count myself to have taken possession, but one thing I do, forgetting the things behind and reaching forward to the things before. When you enter into a blended situation, if you are coming out of another marriage, you do yourself a favor by choosing to forget everything that you have gone through, to embrace the new, to embrace the immediate, and to say, I'm going to start where everything starts in this setup. You cannot come back and say, I used to do this when I was married to this guy. You are no longer married to that guy. We are now one here. We've got to deal with what we are facing. You see, when you have gone through a time of separation or a time where you are not married, your own children, when you are married, listen to me. When you are married, your children take the back seat. Think about a vehicle. Your children are sitting at the back of your vehicle when you are married. But the day something happens and there's a rift and there's a separation that happens, the children move from the back to the front seat. They are now with you. You are facing everything with them. And the way you're treating them is totally different because they almost become your equal, so to speak, in decision making. Because they are right there with you. And you live like that for 6 years before you meet your other. You then get married. If you do not change your ways and you remain stuck with having your child as the go-to person, you're going to have problems. You've got to chuck that guy back where he belongs, in the back seat, and allow the new man or the new woman to take the right seat. Glory be to God. So you've got to come to that place where you forget the past and you embrace the new. This is very important. And some of you who were not here 2 weeks ago, you might be asking, okay, so are you condoning divorce and remarriage? Please go and listen to that part. You understand the thinking of God regarding remarriage. I dealt with that. Now, so you need to be prepared to start on a new slate. Embrace what is before you. It is very, very important for you to realize that whenever you get into a blended family, because of its nature of blendedness, it brings with it complications that you will not find in a normal, ideal family. You've got to accept the role that comes with being a mother or a father in a blended family. You see, if you choose That is why you should never enter a blended situation willy-nilly. You've got to pray. You've got to ensure that you are ready for what you're getting into, because it's not the ideal. But if you are not ready to stay single and you want to get married, don't take it lightly. You see, when you fall in love with that person, you are falling in love with everything that they bring. You are falling in love with their debt. You are falling in love with their children. You are falling in love somehow with their ex who is lingering somewhere out there, who still has an interest in the children that you are adopting as your own. You've got to learn co-parenting. It is a big challenge that causes a lot of separation for the second marriage. That is why the rate of divorce is double for the second marriage, more than the first marriage. It's because of those complications. Many people are not prepared for the concoction that comes with a blended family. I want you to understand today that when you accept that this is a unique situation, you will go through the phases that are attached to the development of a blended family. These phases will not be found in a normal, ideal family. So let me just give you those phases that you will face, or that you have faced, and maybe you are not able to handle. That is why things haven't been as rosy as you thought they would be after the second marriage. And saying that is why I said 2 weeks ago, when you are married, stick it out. Don't think that if you pull out, things will be better in the next. They will not get better. You've got to deal with what you have now. The Bible says, what God has put together, let no man put asunder. But if something happens and there's a rift there, then let's deal with what's in front of us. And today, that's what we're doing, equipping you and helping you in this process. So there are three phases that a blended family will go through, that an ideal family will not go through. Phase number one, we call it a fantasy or honeymoon phase. Well, an ideal family, between the two, they go through a honeymoon phase, isn't it? Where sorries just fly, right, left, center. I'm sorry, honey, I'm sorry. I won't do it again. I'm really, really sorry. Okay, the first 6 weeks. Right? And then the first 6 months, you know what? You hurt me. I'm not over it yet. Sorry's window. The honeymoon phase is out. Now, in this season of the honeymoon phase, because you've been out of marriage for some time, you've got high hopes that when I remarry, things will be awesome. Right now, I'm struggling with my two kids. When my boyfriend becomes my husband, my kids will have a dad. It'll be so awesome. He'll be able to drop them off at school. He'll pick them. The expectations are high. Right now, I can't meet my bills. When he comes, I'll be able, things will balance up. He's got a good job, but he hasn't told you that from his previous marriage, because he was married in community of property, he is still paying off the debt they collected. Come on now. He comes into the marriage and says, hey, this is the story, you know. You know I was married, right? You know that, right? You knew I was married before. You see, we're still paying off this thing and this thing and this thing and this thing. Can you please help me? Look, but I thought when you come, my own problems will be solved. So the honeymoon phase, we tend to ignore the realities. The honeymoon phase, we think, man, love conquers all. I know he's got two kids. I will love them like my own kids. I mean, what's difficult? I've loved my own. I will love his like my own. So you tell yourself lies in that honeymoon phase. And you say, it's going to be okay. You know, we'll make an arrangement with your ex. He will come and pick them on this day. They can go. It's okay. You play this fantasy movie in your heart, in your mind. Why? Because the rubber hasn't hit the road. Phase number two. Boom. You realize, in fact, this guy, now I understand why they divorced. Now I understand. Now it makes sense. He's got a sharp tongue. He cannot control his tongue. Now I understand. Things are not as rosy as you thought. And then all of a sudden, bad vibes from previous relationships start surfacing up. The guilt, the jealousy, the anger. You start snooping on his phone. Have you been talking to the mother of Tabang? When did you talk to her? How long did you talk to her? Listen, next time she must phone me. Okay. What's going on here? These are the realities that we face when we start realizing the facts related to a blended family. You see, for the children, when they started off, they would call you mama, mommy, mommy, mommy. And then after 6 months, like, hey, you are not my mother. Remember, I came with my dad. I won't talk to you, I'll talk to my dad. Now what? Those are the realities that we face. New living arrangements are more challenging than you thought. You're like, well, you know, we'll move into a 3-bedroom, we'll have a bunker bed in each of them. Now you've got 6 kids. You now need a combi. The Toyota Taze is no longer big enough for 6. You need a combi, you need a VW, you need a 7-seater. Where do you get it? It becomes difficult. The custody issues start surfacing up. And you're like, I'm tired of going to the courts with you. You now, you go by yourself, go deal with these issues. You tell me when it's sorted. What happened to, like, I will love him. Whatever he brings, I will love him. That is phase number two. Now, the realization stage is the testing time for any blended family. And naturally speaking, that is where the marriage falls apart. That is where many people check out. That is where many people start comparing that I should have stayed in my first marriage. I should have stuck it out. That guy was a better dog. I'm using your lingo. I'm using the language that we, in that moment of anger, in that moment of animosity, you start calling us dogs. You're like, that dog was better than this one. This one has got tick. Lies everywhere. Now what? Because you see, when we are dating, we put our best foot forward. Sometimes we don't even tell them that we've got kids back home. That is why, guys, when you're dating, ask, anybody home? I just want to know. Because some people have got no grace to raise another child, another person's child. I'm talking about realization of the challenges that come with a blended family. Stage number three. If you survive stage number two, you are ready now to go into stage number three. This is where the emergency of a healthy and wholesome family starts happening. Now that you know the realities and you're saying, I'm committed, you are ready to build a whole and complete family. You realize that a blended family is not an ideal one. It is different. And your prayer changes. You pray for a special type of grace to sustain you in the blendedness. Glory be to God. There are some prayers that I don't have to make because I am in an ideal situation. But if you find yourself in a blended situation, your prayers got to be different. Hallelujah. You realize that it will take cooperation of everyone in the situation to make it work. It will require cooperation from the children, the mother, the father, and the family, the bigger family around you, to make it work. you realize that it will take God to keep this ship afloat. You realize that you need God more than ever. More than the ones who are in an ideal situation. Because those who are in a blended situation will be tested like no other situation. Does somebody hear me today? Now, I'm going to spend the rest of these 30 minutes now just dealing with this. How does it emerge? How does this blended family work? What's the heart of God? How should we live with each other in order to make it a complete family? Because I believe with all my heart, if we live by God's principles, we will be able to experience the blessing of an ideal family in our blendedness. Now, there are a number of things I want to share with you. So the first thing that happens that you need to do if you are in a blended family or your friend, because you might need to pass this message on to a friend. The first thing that you need to do, number one, you need to commit to God's principles for healthy families. Commit to God's principles. Forget about the fact that mine has got this blendedness behind it. It is still a family. So do not focus on the fact that it's called blended family. Focus on the fact that it's my family. Glory be to God. This is what I have right now. I have to make the best of what's in front of me. So when you live by the principles prescribed by God for the ideal family, your blended family will experience the blessing of God's ideal family. I want to repeat that. When you live by the principles prescribed by God for the ideal family, your blended family will experience the blessing of the ideal family. It is very possible. Now, in the same way that there is a father in an ideal family, when you enter into a blended situation, there is a father in there. And if you are the father, be the father. You cannot look at that family and say, this one is a tomato, this one is an olive, this one... No. These are my tomatoes. You've got to be a father to the children that God has brought into your life. The father in a blended family must aim to manage his family well and to raise children that respect him. Regardless of whether they came out of you or your wife brought them. You've got to make up your mind and say, I chose to be a father to this situation. Therefore, I want to be the father to all. Each one of these should feel that there's a father here. And the prayer of you, of that father, will be different. You'll be able to say, Lord, make me a father to this person, to this child. I might not have procreated them, but now, because they are in my place, I am their father. And the Bible says, a father ought to manage his household well. Speaking of an elder, which then can be extrapolated to fathers, Paul says in 1 Timothy 3 verse 4, the father or an elder must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. So there is a call for fathers to lead well. That whole issue of to manage, it is to lead well. Lead that teenager that has come into your life. Don't look at him differently because he's not yours. He is now yours because he's your adopted child. Glory be to God. You know what? The Father in heaven understands the notion of adoption. When you pray to Father God, he will give you the grace to be a father to them in as much as he is a father to us, his adopted children. You all know that we are not Israelites by nature, but through faith, we are sons and daughters of Abraham. Glory be to God. We are the adopted children of the Most High God. We've been grafted into the vine. Now, I want you to see those children as those that God is grafting into you. And say, Lord, they have come into my space. Allow me to father them. Give me the grace to father them. Hallelujah. It means that you must be responsive to their needs. Don't wait for their mother to come to you and say, Tabang no longer has shoes. Don't you see that Tabang has got no shoes or the shoes are 45 degrees? Huh? Don't you see that Tabang's pants are torn here and he's going to school like that? And you're like, I know his mother will fix it. No, you are the father. Be the father to them. And I can tell you that children will reciprocate. When they feel that there's a father around, their hearts will turn. Their hearts will turn towards you. And before you know it, they'll be sitting on your laps. Why? Because you've become a father to them. Mothers, if you choose to enter a blended environment, you better be a mother. To every one of those children, your own and the ones that he brought. They might not look as handsome as yours. Yeah. Let's go there. Because as mothers, we tend to see more beauty in our own children than in any other child. Oh, man. So if you choose to enter therein, be a mother. In Titus chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible says, let the aged woman likewise be in reverent behavior, not slanderers, not enslaved by much wine, but teachers of good. Be an example to those girls. Be an example to those children. Let them see you speaking honorable about their father. Because when you do that, you are touching their hearts. You are ministering them at an emotional level. And I can tell you, these are the things that have broken families when we don't get it right. Because these kids will always remember their own mother. And they will prefer to go to the mother. How about loving them so much that when they are there with you, they feel at home. This is home. This is mama. That they may train the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Children are great observers. Children are a great observer. They will always remember how their mother and father used to treat each other when things were good. Now, in this new context, they've got a reference point. That's how they used to do it. But here, this one is different. Be a mother to them. So I'm talking about mothers and fathers. In the same line, children in a blended family, more often than not, children are a victim of their parents' choices and behavior. They did not choose for you to separate. They didn't choose for you to marry another person, but they are in that situation. If you are a child in that situation, what does God have to say to you? The Bible says children should be obedient and honor their parents. And I want to speak to you as a child today. If you find yourself in a blended situation, you'll do good by bringing honor to your new mother or to your new father. With honor, with reverence, the Bible says there will be a blessing that accrues to you. Ephesians 6 verse 1, the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It is the first commandment that has a blessing attached to it. Now, as you can see, these principles apply to an ideal family. And we are saying, do not neglect them because yours, in inverted commas, is blended and different. If you apply them rightly, you will be a beneficiary of the blessing in an ideal family. So that is the first issue here, where you commit to God's principles for healthy families. Now let's look at the second principle that will help you to become healthy and whole in a blended state. Now, you need to understand the losses that you're dealing with. By and large, in most blended family situations, one or more of its members would have suffered a loss. Let's go there. In most blended families, one or more of the two of those involved would have experienced a loss. It could have been a loss through death, where a father dies and the mother remarries and she brings along children. Or the mother dies and the father remarries. That's a difficult situation. If you choose to marry a widow or a widower, that's a ministry on itself, where God is calling you to come and bring healing, to come and bring restoration, and to recreate hope that was lost at the death of the parent. That is a great ministry that you're getting yourself into. And maybe you went into it and you did not understand the depth of the ministry that God is calling you to. Today the Lord is saying, maybe look at what you're doing as a ministry more than anything else. You see, there is a history behind most blended families, and it is usually a painful history. If you know, there's nothing as painful as separation, as a divorce. That's why God says God hates divorce, because it rips apart a unity that God had created. And children suffer a lot. And for instance, when divorce happens because of infidelity, there's scarring and wounding that would have happened in the life of the victim. And now they are remarrying. They are coming into this marriage with a lot of hesitation and a lot of anxieties as to, will this work? He betrayed me. Will he be faithful? He abused me. Will he be a loving husband? He abandoned me. He left without notice. And I don't even know where he is. For the past 6 years, I've not heard from him. Abandonment. It would create something in somebody's heart. Therefore, you need to understand the losses. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. The Bible says, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also the interests of others. You walk into that situation. Your heart should be, Lord, give me a heart that understands. Give me a heart that can see the pain. Lord, give me the grace not to perpetuate the pain and the suffering. When you do that, you are on the road of building a healthy, blended family. You see, children may have suffered loss of their biological family because of death. Now, I want you to realize what happens in the psychic of a child. In a case where there's a divorce that happened, every child wishes for their mom and dad to remain together. And in the process of separation, every child has a desire and an inbuilt wish, like, I really hope mom and dad will come back together, right? They're like, Lord, they even pray, Lord, if it's possible, may they find each other. May they just talk. May they come back together. It was nice being in a family. It was nice waking up and seeing dad sitting at the counter of the kitchen. It was nice driving to school with my dad, right? Now, when during separation, that hope is still there. That hope is still there. Now, mama comes and says, boy, I need to tell you something. I've met a friend. That's how we start this conversation. I've met a friend. What do you mean you met a friend? Now, she's talking to a teenager. What do you mean you've met a friend? Very special friend. We're very close. I'll let you know, but something's going to happen. You know what happens to the child? All of a sudden, that hope is diminishing. And then, boom, the marriage happens, the wedding happens, and then you're now in this new home. The loss to that child is the possibility of reconciliation. It's not going to happen because now mama is married. Now, you coming into this space, you need to understand, do not undermine the pain that these children are going through. Because before the marriage happened, there was hope. And they were trusting and praying. Now they cannot pray that you divorce again. It's devastating. Understand the losses. Understand the losses. You see, they used to stay in KwaZulu-Natal. They were close to their grandmas. They were close to their cousins. Now you marry a guy from Limpopo. You move from KwaZulu-Natal all the way to Messina. I mean, it can't be easy on these kids. Come on now. It can't be easy because now to think of visiting grandma, they're like, it's going to take me the whole day by bus to go back to KwaMhlanga. It's a wrenching thing that is happening in their heart. And you, as a new dad, you've got to understand that pain. It is your responsibility to assure that young boy and say, you know what? When holidays come, I will drive you to your grandma. You know what that will do to bring healing in the life of that child? You're playing father now. You are playing the role of a father, and the Lord is using you to bring comfort to not an ideal situation. You make your promises and you live by them. And you say, every holiday, I'll drive you to KwaMhlanga. You'll see your grandma. That will draw you closer. That will make you closer and closer to those children. Are we together this morning? Now, these are difficult things, guys. But we need to be ready for them. And if you are in them, may the Lord help you to deal with them in a godly way. Let's look at the last point. If you are to build a healthy, blended family, you need to grow in compassion. I'm not just talking about the lovey-dovey compassion that we have in our ideal family. I'm talking about a deeper sense of compassion towards your family, towards your new children, towards their extended family. You see, when you genuinely seek to understand the loss that God is calling you to heal, you will be overcome by compassion. When you have a revelation of the pain that God is calling you to minister to, compassion will well up in your heart. And that is the type of prayer you need to make. And say, Lord, give me compassion for this blended situation. Put this down. Compassion is the ability to understand someone else's distress and to want to help alleviate it. That is compassion. It is the ability to understand someone else's pain. Instead of thinking and looking at them as a nuisance because you came without a child, you don't have children, but your other brought in two children. Instead of looking at them as a nuisance, you look at them as an area of ministry. And say, maybe the Lord knew that I have it in my heart to minister to these children. Maybe the Lord knew that I have the capacity to withstand the pressures that come with being a stepmom. And I can tell you, when you show them compassion, that word step even falls away at some point. They won't even find a need to remind you that you are not the first. Okay, do you hear what I'm saying? Because step is like there was somebody else, you just stepped in. But when you love them, that word step is taken out, like your mama. Come and see my mother. Unless they are told that you are not actually biologically linked, people will never know. Why? Compassion causes you to minister to them at a deeper level. You see, the glue that binds the blended family together is an overdose of compassion. An overdose. You cannot have enough of it. Compassion is so essential to growing love in a blended family and all other relationships. Now, I want to touch, I don't have time here, I won't be able to finish. But the Apostle Paul gives us an idea of how it looks like to grow in compassion. And I'm going to use the context of a blended family to apply what the Apostle Paul teaches in Romans chapter 12. Let's go to Romans chapter 12 from verse 9. I want to start off from verse 9 to 12. Packed portion of scriptures. The Bible says, let love be without hypocrisy. It lands. If you position that scripture in a blended family, it makes so much sense. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Remember the context, blended family. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Blended family, remember, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. When you apply that scripture to a blended family, there are a number of principles we can deduce from it. Number one, the blended family will thrive when genuine love is shown. The only way that your blended family will remain intact is when there's genuine love. Not just love. He says, let love be without hypocrisy. It is easier to love your own children than it is to love someone else's child. It's easier to go all out for your own, but will you go all out for the other? I have seen blended families where the child of the biological father goes to a private school, but the child that came with the mother goes to a public school. Tell me, why? Why are we doing this? If you are not ready for it, you should not have gotten into it. It's either they all go to private school, or they all go to public school, or they are all homeschooled. Paul says, let love be without hypocrisy, without partiality, without being two-faced, or without sincerity. Why do you buy food, special food for your own, and then for the others, you give them carpenter? You know what carpenter is? You don't know what carpenter is? You don't? Okay. It's those brim, it's like, what you call them? It's the small fish, what you call them? Sardine. Yeah, it's almost like sardines. Okay, in my where I come from, we call them carpenter. Right? You give them sardines that are in cans. But for your own, you take them, when you take them from school via McDonald's, they have McDonald's, and then at home you have sardines. No. Let love be without hypocrisy. Love them equally. Let them all eat sardines or let them all go to McDonald's. When you do that, they will feel the love in the house. Hallelujah. So the temptation is high to pay more attention to your own children. And this is when most blended families break down. You perpetuate the pain that the children brought with them. They're now remembering only if mom and dad remain together. They start blaming themselves. It was because of me that mom and dad divorced. Do you see what we're piling over these children? By loving them with a hook. Love with a hook. You see, the family must decide to call out all manner of evil. In other words, Paul says here, detest, repulse anything that is evil. So when you are raising these children, they must understand the value of the family. You mustn't call out evil when it's your stepchild. And when it's your own, they don't clean the toilet, you don't reprimand them. But this one gets smacked all the time. Let love be without partiality. Another principle. The blended family must adopt a culture of honor towards each other. The blended family must adopt a culture of honor. And we know what honor means. It's placing weight on somebody. Placing value on somebody. You've got to place value on every child in that setup. And for you children, you place value on both parents, whether they're your biological parent or not. You might not have chosen to be where you are, but now you are in it. What would God want you to do to honor that father by the way you speak to him? So everyone is honorable in this family. What they have to say is worth listening to. Their feelings and how they feel is worth your attention. You cannot minimize my feelings because I'm not your child. You see, we've got to get that culture of honor inculcated as you start this blended family. Point number three, the blended family must quickly learn selflessness. You know, this whole issue of trying to save your own skin does not work in the blended family. Paul says, give preference to one another. This is so powerful, guys. If there's one slice of bread that is left, who do you give it to? That's a very, it's a real issue. If there's one slice of bread that is left, who do you give it to? According to Paul, you give it to your stepchild. You hear what I'm saying? You give it, because it says here, give preference to another. And the another here is the child of your husband. So if there's one slice of bread that is left, rather have your own child cry. You are then able to comfort them because you are their mother. When this one cries, you are not their mother. They won't receive your comfort that easy. So give them the bread. Give them the toy. And I can tell you, something will start happening in their heart. They will start feeling like this is home. This is my mom. This is my dad. Give preference to another. Selflessness. Hallelujah. Let's do the last point and we're going to pray. Lastly, the blended family must place God at the center. There is no blended family that can survive the absence of God in its midst. I want to repeat that. There is no blended family that can survive in the absence of God. Paul says, be fervent, serve the Lord, and continue steadfastly in prayer. I want you to picture a blended family praying together at night. The new mom and the father, the children and the new children, sitting in the lounge, reading the word, praying to their father in heaven. There is nothing more powerful than that. There is nothing that can unite you more than that. That is why Paul says here, be earnest in prayer. When a blended family brings God in the center, that blended family has an identity. Remember, when you come together, there is no identity because it's two families coming together and you're forming a new identity. And your new identity will find itself in God. When the blended family is sold out for God, you go beyond battles of the flesh. It's no longer about how you look and where you came from. It's about where we're going. It's about the Father in heaven who brought us together. Glory be to God. You see, no one can love another before being touched by God's unconditional love. That is why you need to bring God into it. Because when you experience the grace of God in your life, there is a possibility for you to extend the same. When you don't acknowledge that you don't deserve what you have, you think that you have a right. You worked hard for it. And therefore, you expect everybody to work for everything that they're going to get in the house. But when you know that it's by grace, you're able to look at them and say, I built all of this for them. You will not remind them. If the guy, the husband came and found you in a four-bedroom house, your own. You don't have to remind him, remember, I built this. Remember, you found me with my own house. Well, what do you have to say? Remember, I bought you the car you're driving. Me. No, man. When you understand grace, you say, hubby, this is yours. It's now ours. Come on now. Am I making sense today? It's a test of the heart. Your heart is being tested in that blended situation. May the Lord help you. Hallelujah. You see, when a family finds purpose in God, that family will have something to fight for. Can you imagine a blended family being part of the worship team here? They have a reason to fight for righteousness. They have a bigger cause to live for. They say, we have to make up here. You know what? We are called by God more than us being blended, but we are one under God's love. Hallelujah. Let's fix up and walk and do what God has called us to do. That is a unifying factor in a blended family. Take God out of it. There's no purpose in that family. Why should we remain together? We'll fight and we'll live. But when God is in the context, His grace is more than sufficient. He is able. He is able. I don't know who this word was, but the Lord wants to minister to you. He wants to strengthen you.